on Final Draft. Bye now.
Good morning. This is 2SER 107.3 and you are tuned into The Vulture's Nest, a half hour of vivacious ventilation on some of the news and culture of the week. I am Sean Morahan, your host this morning, and joining me in the nest today are Erin Rooney. Good morning.
Good morning.
Tadina Taite.
Morning, Sean.
How are you going, T?
Good, thank you.
Good. And Jess Clayman.
Morning, Sean.
Welcome, Jess. A little story I've got to start off with this morning relates to school. On Monday, a video was posted to YouTube showing students at Barberton High School in Ohio, USA, getting pepper sprayed. They hadn't been misbehaving. Not for this particular pepper spray anyway. The students were in a criminal science technology class, and the experience was to help students who may be considering law enforcement careers understand the effects of pepper spray. Participation was voluntary, and the students had to have their parents sign a waiver. The students in the video, you see the students line up with their backs to a wall, and a police officer comes along and sprays each of them in turn in the face with pepper spray to simulate the situation.
Oh, I think he
says something like, you know, stop resisting or something like that. He calls out something there as he would to, you know, somebody that he was trying to arrest.
Please desist your actions or something like that,
yeah.
Stop and desist.
So apart from the entertainment value, is there any other value in doing this to students, do you think?
I got to say, I love the parents that signed off on this.
I know. Well, that was my first reaction. I'm like, what parent would do this? Is this just character building? Is that like the main thing? I mean, like for me, when I was in high school, the character building thing we did was Outward Bound, like going on camp, you know, in the wilderness, carrying everything, hiking every day, like, you know, that was the character building. I just don't see the point of the pepper spray. Like, you know, it's painful.
Yeah.
This is the genius of it, because the parent then gets to go, if you don't do your homework, I'm not going to let the police officer spray pepper in your face.
Or I'm going to sign that waiver and the police officer's going to pay pepper in your face.
I feel like the parents and the teachers got together and went, hey, I've had enough. I've had enough of these phones. The sneaking out, the drugs. Actually, it reminds me of another story I actually saw as well. The drugs are doing. Let's do that. Let's get him on board with pepper spray. It's bizarre. It is a weird one. I just don't know how they got it past the board of trustees and everything.
It's one of those like only in America stories.
Yeah.
I feel like. Like that's the line you draw. Like, let's pepper spray teenagers. This is a great idea.
Look, I'm not saying they don't deserve it. I honestly think most teenagers could do with a good pepper spray in the face.
Well, on Jess's point there, you said only in America. You know, how much longer do we wait before they start actually shooting them? You know, to see what it's like to get a bullet in there.
I honestly, I'm going to say it. I don't want people to shoot people, but I wish people had knew the reality of how much it hurt to be shot by a bullet, because then I would hope there would be less shootings in America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, Jess, just before we went to air, you were mentioning you knew someone who had been trained with tasers as well.
So my friend, a very, very good friend of mine who I've been friends with for a very long time, joined the police force.
Right.
And a part of her training was, do you want to be tasered? And if you knew my friend, of course, she was like, yeah, that's great. Let's do that. And so they laid them down on the floor, you know, very safely, and tasered them at different levels, which is horrifying, but
also I want to go.
In that respect too, it was a really good way to teach. Like, she's obviously not a high school student, she was training to be a police officer in like scenarios where she would have to use a taser, and it's good for I think them to know exactly the force with which they are using against civilians. I think it's an interesting training method and not necessarily a bad one, but I don't know about its applications with teenagers. I think for police force, yeah, if you want to be tasered, be tasered. I think that's a great way to learn exactly what you're doing. They put up with a lot of terrible stuff, and unfortunately it does come to situations where they have to use more excessive force, such as tasers.
Do Australian cops have guns?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. That also terrified me, knowing my friend that now she carries a weapon. I'm like, oh God, it's crazy. But I think they prefer to use their tasers.
Of course.
Of course.
Does every single officer have a gun on them when they're out?
I honestly don't think so.
We don't, and then obviously in the UK they don't, and it's interesting to see how you can enforce law without them.
Yeah,
but you can.
Yeah, exactly.
We've gone off topic. Sorry.
Oh, so you weren't asking if Australian policemen carry guns for any particular reason for anything that might be happening after the show today?
Oh no, no. No. We'll just see if you behave yourself, Sean. Have your breakfast.
Can we see any potential problems with this, with pepper spraying students?
Blinding.
Yeah.
Just loss of vision.
Have any of you guys taught?
No.
No.
I can honestly say I don't think it's a bad thing.
No, I don't think it's a bad thing at all.
I think it's a great wake-up call for kids.
In America, you know, people are just so happy, you know? Mm. Like,
yeah.
I just look at the legal ramifications of this. I'm like, how did this get passed?
I know. How did this get passed, the Board of Studies? Yeah, exactly. How did this get passed anything?
I don't understand.
It's a weird concept.
That's because a new minister or whatever they call them for education can't count. So anything's going to get signed off at the moment.
Tasers, yeah, great. Pepper spray, sure. Why not? It always terrified me too. I went to a gun range in the States as well, which was a horrific experience.
Oh.
Like, I just wanted to, in Las Vegas, but they sell pepper spray in gun ranges and Walmart, so it's not something that isn't easily accessible in the United States.
Yeah.
When I think of pepper spray, I just think of mace, self defense
in your handbag.
This was
the
proper one that they use for the cops, isn't it? This is proper. Yeah. Have you guys seen the reaction to that? I mean,
horrible.
Saw the video.
Just
everything comes out of everywhere. Yeah.
It's disgusting. It's obviously very intense. So I think because it is so easily accessible in the States, hit them with it. Let them know what's going to happen if they mace someone or if they are maced themselves.
Absolutely.
in a controlled and safe environment.
Their parents signed off on it.
Yeah, but what 16-year-old boy isn't let's do this. This is a great idea.
So that's a perfect example of peer pressure.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, doing it, I'm going to do it too. I'm going to do it twice.
Well, yeah.
There are a lot of girls in the group too.
Yeah. We can equally peer pressure.
Yeah.
Can I just ask, have you watched the video, T? Have you seen
it? I didn't actually watch it, no.
Erin, you saw
I've
it?
Yeah, I watched it. Yeah.
I haven't seen this video, but I've seen videos of people being pepper sprayed.
Okay. Erin, in this one, when you watched it, do you think the screaming becomes competitive?
Oh, yeah. I could see a bit of it. Yeah, I mean, no, to me, some of the students were definitely genuinely in pain.
Yes.
But, yeah, it was almost like they were egged on to scream louder, harder.
Is this kind of when you get school needles and all of a sudden everyone feels sick? It's
exactly.
I'm sicker than
That's
you.
That's what I thought. I was just it was as soon as, particularly the boys, I reckon, as soon as they heard other people screaming, it's okay, it's okay for me to scream as well because it is quite painful. But with needles, it's just once you see someone.
Oh, it really hurt. Yeah. Oh, I need to lay down. That's I need to go to the nurse's office.
See, that's soft, man. This is good. Harden up.
Well, I think we can acknowledge it was a very unusual way for them to receive work-related experience.
You could go and patrol around your neighbourhood. You could do neighbourhood watch. You could look after your elderly neighbours. But no, we're going to do pepper spray because that's the most relevant thing.
Yeah, and that was the whole idea behind it. It was work-related experience. It counted as a study credit towards their course if they chose to do it.
Are they all going to be criminals? Is that the work-related study that they're doing? It's giving them a pretty clear career path there.
That's the part I really didn't get about it. I'm like, okay.
Hopefully you're on the other end of the episode.
Yeah, exactly.
Either you really enjoy it or you want to give it to someone else.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
That's not great. And did you see how they had was it Blue Lives Matter?
Yeah.
Mm.
I don't understand how that tied in either.
Because of Blue Lives is in police force? Was that what that
was?
Yes. But how is that protecting?
Because it was criminal studies. And it is part of your training when you go into the police force. So you can opt out you can opt in to have tasers and pepper spray experience as well. So
I agree with you, Erin. Yeah. I still don't understand.
Yeah, what is it teaching the students? Don't
get pepper sprayed.
Yeah, don't get pepper sprayed.
It's a weird one.
It's the same thing as the tasers.
Yeah, make sure you're pointing the can the right way.
Yeah. Oh.
but
imagine that.
I mean, I could see maybe.
So cease and desist. Sorry.
Yeah, to see the force you're applying to someone else, but that to me would sort of not be Blue Lives Matter, maybe more the Black Lives Matter movement, what you're actually doing to other people.
Yeah.
I don't know that they should have jumped on that, actually. I think that's a bit insensitive,
considering
the reason that Black Lives Matter is because of police brutality.
Yeah,
ridiculous.
Mm.
So just what, before we move on, while we're still on work-related experience, T, do you remember what you did for work experience?
Oh, gosh. I it was really hard because people didn't want to take you on and we had to do it for a module. And I ended up working in a florist shop and I've got to tell you, I am the worst florist ever because I couldn't hold the flowers. And I couldn't – I just was the worst. I think they were like, oh, my God, I hope she's good at school because she's never going to be a florist.
So it was a worse experience than getting pepper sprayed?
It was pretty bad. And I had to do it for like 4 weeks. It was continual.
Wow.
It was really bad.
Okay.
It was embarrassing. I didn't think any free flowers, I don't think. That was terrible.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Erin, do you remember what you did for work experience?
Well, I didn't have to do work experience at my school. I did a lot of unpaid internships at uni.
still doing work experience.
Yeah, no.
Any bizarre experience come out of that you'd like to share?
Not really. I think it was pretty normal. I didn't even have to get coffees for people, which is pretty typical in the mag industry. So,
No Devil Wears Prada stories?
Oh, look. I have Devil Wears Prada stories now that I actually work in the industry. But yeah, not during work experience.
Okay, that one's maybe for another show.
Yeah.
I think so.
Jess, work experience?
I went to a Catholic school, so we didn't do work experience. Oh. We did community service instead.
Okay.
So I went down to the local aged care facility and worked in the dementia patient ward for the day, which was lovely and beautiful. And I heard lots of gorgeous stories from old people, and they tried to play chess with me, but neither of us knew how to play chess. Like, they clearly progressed past the stage of playing chess, and I was just hopeless. So we just moved pieces around the board for a couple of hours and chatted. It was awesome. I loved it.
I just saw something recently about how much music plays in dementia patients. Was that music playing when you were there?
There was music playing. My grandfather had dementia. Oh. And so it wasn't necessarily music, but he used to love watching Mr. Bean. And that was his like great therapy, is that he'd sit down and watch Mr. Bean for a few hours every day because it was simple to watch, but it was still quite stimulating in that it's humour.
Yeah.
It was really interesting. There's a lot of really interesting studies coming out regarding that these days.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, anyway,
Puts my flower making to shame, whatever.
Okay.
Yay, capitalism.
Another story we'd like to try and squeeze in today, the Chanel boomerang.
Oh, gosh.
Well, I can say, if there's some Chanel poys coming out, and you guys probably don't know what they are, but that's a moulding thing.
They're the balls on the strings.
Oh, man, I can't. So that's the next, or the grass skirt, Chanel grass skirt 2018 season.
Yeah.
There'd be trouble.
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk about the problems with plastic waste this week, so the campaign to reduce plastic use, especially plastic bags, and the news stories this week about Henderson Island and the Pacific Ocean, where tons of plastic garbage have been washed ashore. Here at 2SER, we don't have the budget to pay for the adjectives needed to describe how much plastic rubbish there is on Henderson Island. But Chanel appear to be doing their environmental bit by producing this piece of plastic rubbish that you can't throw away.
Was it plastic? It wasn't even wooden.
It looked like a combination of wood, and it was wood at the end, and it seemed to be about 9/10 plastic or covered in plastic.
So you should say, so Chanel made a boomerang to sell, part of their sportswear.
That's right.
Yeah, range.
Made of wood, plastic and cultural inappropriation.
Yeah. Well done.
French fashion house Chanel, created this product. Can anyone imagine why?
Because they're Chanel and they can make anything and it will sell, unfortunately.
Right.
And it's hideous too. It's not even a nice accessory.
And the price tag, Sean, what was it, $2,230?
Yeah, well, and at the moment I think as well it's on some websites, I did some research, the price is going up.
What?
Because I think there's sort of this outrage demand for it.
I don't even get it as an active kind of...
I think
it's not like a ball or a bat that you can actually, you throw it and it comes back to, it does all the work for you. It is not a piece of active work.
People that are buying this are not going to be used.
No, and it's just, it's the worst idea. Whoever came up with it needs to be, their legs slapped all the way to Woy Woy. It's just the worst idea.
The thing is, I think they looked at it and they went, oh, it's like a frisbee, but it's more stylish than a frisbee. It's a stylish frisbee. That's what they went. They didn't understand what it actually was.
And
it's not sports equipment.
No, exactly.
It's not like, hey, guys, you're going to go and have a game of boomerang this afternoon? Want to throw around? I'm going to get the lads around.
So there's been a lot of public criticism from it. I think in the news this week, I've heard quite a few people representing aspects of the Australian Aboriginal community, Indigenous Australians, you know, say that it's just not appropriate
it's
at all.
Offensive.
It's cultural misappropriation. Chanel responded to some of that criticism to Fairfax this week, and they said that Chanel is extremely committed to respecting all cultures and regrets that some may have felt offended.
Wow.
Which is basically saying, I'm sorry that you've got a problem with this.
Righto, Chanel.
Can I ask you all, I'll be up front and say that I don't knowingly own any Chanel products. Do any of you own any Chanel products?
Not on the back of this. I wish I did. I don't.
I have a Chanel foundation.
Oh, yeah. Right. Their makeup is good.
That's it. It's all I can afford.
It's so weird. I just don't understand. Firstly, I don't get the price tag, and I don't get... I think they made a huge mistake, and they just didn't know what they were doing.
And the worst part is that they haven't properly apologised, I think.
Mm. Well, I just think it's interesting because this kind of idea has to go through so many people before it actually makes it to market.
Yeah. Like,
how on earth did not one single person stop it?
Like, and think this is a really terrible idea.
But let's be honest. Like, where is Chanel? Is it in France?
Yeah.
So, yeah. France is the other side of the world. There's quite likely that they don't know. And can I say, and I guess I think, because while I think Australia's getting better at promoting Aboriginal things and things are brought up here internationally, not so well known. Although I will say that I did see the Aborigines a group do a dance on Bold and the Beautiful the other day, guys. So breaking the American market.
But they were in Australia for that episode.
So I'm saying.
Yeah.
I think people don't know internationally.
No, the Indigenous culture of Australia is not super internationally known.
If I got a bag of goon and ran it through the soda stream and called it champagne, apparently not only is that offensive to French people, but also apparently now it's illegal if I market it as champagne.
Yeah.
So, you know, the French...
Can you do that?
...region of...
Soda stream your goon?
Yeah.
Not entirely sure. Give it a go.
More importantly, can that be done? Anyway.
So it seems, you know, the French recently have asserted, you know, the rights to protect their, you know... their cultural heritage, and you know, and particularly for commercial values as well. So it does seem odd that Chanel could claim to be unaware of the cultural value and perhaps even the commercial values of some of these, you know, of a boomerang.
It's been withdrawn now, hasn't it?
As far as I know, it's still on there.
Oh, I thought I read that it was being. Oh, that's bad. That's really bad.
Yeah, and I've got to say, I don't know. I was researching it through the week, and I was even checking some of the stories this week. I hadn't seen that it's been withdrawn, but it may have been.
I think you've got a really good point there, Sean. But my point I'm making here is maybe to push back to the Australian culture to let that culture be advertised internationally so that people don't make mistakes like this. Because I'd say that I don't even know if an English person would know that would be offensive. If I'm just thinking about who might have been on their crew as they went down the line of designing this.
If you're
this.
Making an Australian product,
you should.
Like, fact check. Just pick up a phone.
Yeah, absolutely.
And just give someone a buzz like, hey, I'm thinking of doing this. Do you think someone will find it offensive?
Yeah. Can we focus group it?
Yeah.
Get some people in, get them to drink some aerated goon and give us some feedback.
I know what I'm doing this afternoon.
You're listening to The Vulture's Nest on 2SER. We're going to take a track now. We have Hunter with Aldous... artist Aldous Harding with Hunter.
He's a hunter, he's a good man. Be brave when he brings you nothing more. He's a hunter and a good man. Be brave.
No matter how big or small the occasion, Crust Pyrmont is your go-to pizza store in the Sydney CBD for office catering. Crust Pyrmont can deliver from 1 to 150 pizzas per order using the best equipment to make sure your gourmet pizzas are delivered fresh, hot and on time. Choose between ordering online through the Crust Pizza app or simply call the store on 9566 1933. Crust Pizza Pyrmont proudly sponsors 2SER 107.3.
Sydney Film Festival is now on sale. There's over 350 screenings of 288 films from 62 countries over 12 days in 10 venues. From the magnificent State Theatre in the city to the Ritz Cinema in Randwick, there's bound to be a film and venue just right for you. It all happens from June 7 to 18, and you can buy your flexi passes or single tickets right now at sff.org.au. Sydney Film Festival, proudly sponsoring 2SER 107.3.
Hello, this is the Vulture's Nest on 2SER. So far today we've been discussing the Chanel boomerang and pepper spray. Another story we'd like to cover this morning in the time we've got left available is online reviews. In the news this week, there was a person who was a little bit, dissatisfied with the service that she got from a restaurant, and she got online and gave them a one-star review. However, the restaurant has now threatened to sue the customer. The review was on the TripAdvisor website. Mm. And she then went public with the fact that she'd been threatened to be sued by the restaurant. And so there's a big public backlash now against the restaurant.
It's just worse publicity for them than the one-star review.
Seriously. Yeah, this all happened in the UK, but I think, you know, in the global economy, it conceivably could have happened anywhere. And I'm sure there probably are some businesses in Australia that have perhaps had similar circumstances and seen some similar things. So can I start maybe by asking you, Erin, when do you take notice of online reviews? How much credence do you put in online reviews?
Yeah, So some of the main online reviews I look at are things like TripAdvisor, obviously, actually restaurants. Yeah, so if I'm trying out a new place in Newtown or, you know, Surry Hills, I always go on Google reviews TripAdvisor, Yelp, that kind of thing. And usually, yeah, I look at the star rating. I think that's the main thing I'd look at. And then if it's got a particularly low rating, then I start reading the reviews and seeing what they're criticizing. And if it, like, if I can compromise on whatever it is.
Yes.
Like, if it's, say, slow service, like, if I'm going for a casual drink with friends, like, I'm not going to be too worried about how slow the service is if the food's really good still.
Yeah.
The other thing I've looked at in the past is, like, Glassdoor. Do you guys know about Glassdoor?
No.
So
no.
It's about companies. So if you want to go work at a different company, you know, it'll... But the problem with those ones is that usually the reviews are made by people who've left the company, so they're often bad. So they'll criticise a lot of things. So it's good to keep that in mind when you're reading these reviews.
I think if you wrote a review for Glassdoor that was negative of your company, even if you still work there, you wouldn't be working there much, much longer anyway.
Exactly.
So it's, I mean, a bit of a vicious circle.
It's all anonymous. So that kind of, well, to me, that kind of gives a bit more credibility to it because, yeah, you know, there's no consequence for you putting that review out there. But yeah, I don't know, I always take online reviews with a grain of salt, but I think most of these review companies, they, with this story in particular, you know, the defamation aspect, there's you know, precautions put in place so that it's not really defamation, like I would say, you
know,
it's opinion.
Yeah.
And also certain reviews aren't given more weight than other reviews necessarily. Like this one star review, if there's like 50 other 4 or 5 star reviews, then you're not going to probably pay attention to this one. So I wouldn't call that defamation because it's not significantly impacting the reputation of that restaurant.
Is that what they're suing on the base of defamation?
They're saying that the detrimental effect it's had on their business. We will pursue you for aggravated damages to compensate for the full extent of our financial losses.
Oh. I know that sometimes people can do reviews that are disingenuine, and they are deliberately bad reviews to pull other people's ratings down, and it's often by a competitor. That does happen.
Yeah. Yes.
So if they could prove that, then I think then they've got a point. But I think it was just a woman who just was unhappy with her services.
Yeah. But then there's like sites like booking.com. So once you've made a booking, they ask you to review it, and then it's considered a genuine review, and they can authenticate reviews, which I think is fantastic if you had to like send a receipt in or something with your review, or send some form of identification to say, I really have experienced this and this was my true experience.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Oh, actually, the other one that I haven't mentioned is Airbnb. That's a very interesting one because you're putting a lot of trust in someone to, you know, to live in their house or stay with them.
Yeah.
You know? If somewhere doesn't have a review, I will not choose it ever.
Oh, wow. Why don't you be the groundbreaker? You be the first.
It's a lot of
too much risk.
Be the Sermon Hillary.
Some of those Airbnbs are sus.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Airbnb,
right.
Sorry.
Yeah, when you're staying in someone's house, yeah. I would never stay in one that has less than 4 stars, I think, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I do the same on booking.com. Yeah, I'm like, 100%. If it doesn't have like a fantastic rating or higher, I'm out. Yeah. I don't want to play.
Are you an active reviewer, Jess? Do you actually leave reviews as well?
I left the most scathing review the other day. I was so upset. I went to a burger joint, who I shall not name for fear of defamation. Down in Barangaroo, this new burger joint. It's like a fusion burger joint. I was really excited. I took Mum down there for Mother's Day. It was kind of like 3 o'clock-ish.
What's a fusion burger joint?
Just really rubbish is what it is. I was really not impressed. And they got my order wrong, right? So I ordered one burger and then like a cheeseburger. And they bought me 2 of the first burger. I was like, nah, that's not what happened. And they said that if I wanted to get my order correct, I had to go and reorder and repay for the other burger.
What?
Customer's always right. First rule of retail, first rule of food
100%.
Service. And so I left the most scathing review on their Yelp page. I couldn't sign into TripAdvisor at that time. I downloaded the app. So I'm like, Yelp will do.
You're in the restaurant.
I sat there eating my burger, reviewing them on Yelp and saying my review very loudly so they heard me. I love a good review.
Oh, my God.
And that's the thing. No one will ever review when you have good experiences. It's only ever bad.
That's true.
That's a good point.
We're out of time. Thank you so much for joining us today on The Vulture's Nest. Thank you to Erin.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, T. Thank you. Thank you, Jess.
Thank you, Sean.
Make sure you get online and give us some fantastic reviews anywhere you can.
Good ones.
Next week, Eden's back. It's his turn again to host The Nest. So tune in next Saturday at 10:30 to hear Eden and his guests pick apart some of the news and culture from the week. And stay tuned. Coming up very soon is So Hot Right Now with Sophie Lye.